Thanks, Tricia. So if I can get this to work. HIV-associated sensory neuropathy, or HIV-SN, is a painful and debilitating complication of HIV infection and its treatment with antiretroviral therapy, most notably with the use of stabudine. In fact, up to 60% of people living with HIV of African ancestry who receive stabudine are at risk of developing HIV-SN. So symptoms for HIV-SN can include a painful burning or numbness, pins and needles, sensitivity to pain, and also reduced ankle reflexes. There is no prevention, there's no cure, and very few therapeutics effectively alleviate these symptoms. So HIV-SN can severely impact an individual's ability to work, provide for their family, and just affect their general overall quality of life. The clinical pathology includes neuronal loss in the dorsal root ganglion, degeneration of long axons, and then loss of primary afferent terminals in the skin or the epidermis of the feet and hands. We also see an underlying inflammatory pathology with an increased infiltration of macrophages and their expressed cytokines in both the dorsal root ganglion and in the skin as well. So because of this underlying inflammatory pathology and neuronal damage, we wondered whether calcium calmodulin kinase 2, or you can call it CAMKK2 if you like, whether this protein plays a role in the development of HIV-SN. So CAMKK2 phosphorylates and activates four downstream proteins, all of which are important in neuronal growth, repair, and energy metabolism. So it's a worthy candidate to investigate in this disease. So one way we can look at whether CAMKK2 plays a role or not is to compare the expression of this protein in people living with HIV, both with and without HIV-SN. So for example, we collected biopsies from the lower leg of Indonesian patients, both with and without HIV-SN, and treated these sections with fluorescently labelled antibodies so that we can visualise the protein in the affected tissue. So as you can see here in blue, we've got blood vessels winding through the tissue section, and at the top of the picture there, see if I can get this laser to work, so across the top, probably can't see it because it's very bright in here, is a very faint epidermis, or the outer layer of the skin, and in red you can see a very few scattered nerves winding into the epidermis. We also see in yellow an absolute abundance of CAMKK2 in the blood vessels. So using this method, we're able to both visualise the quantity of the protein, the location, and also the interaction of the protein with other cells within the tissue, such as immune cells or the nerves themselves. Unfortunately, we didn't have any biopsies for this study, so we next considered a genetic signature of the protein. So we can investigate the genetics by looking at polymorphisms or mutations or changes within the genes. If we find polymorphisms which are associated with HIV-SN, it implicates a role for the protein within the disease pathology. So CAMKK2 is located on chromosome 12 in a region of high linkage disequilibrium. And this means that these polymorphisms within CAMKK2 are more likely to be co-inherited with polymorphisms, other polymorphisms in CAMKK2 or even in neighbouring genes. The neighbouring genes are P2X7R, P2X4R and ANAPC5. So P2X7R and P2X4R both encode purinergic receptors, which through a series of biological processes are involved in inflammatory pathways. ANAPC5 also encodes proteins which interact with inflammatory pathways and generally result in reduced inflammation. So together with their interaction with inflammatory pathways, there's a potential role for these proteins in HIV-SN as well. So to investigate this genetic signature, we recruited 75 HIV-positive Southern African patients with African ancestry who'd never received stabudine. We assessed these individuals for HIV-SN using the AIDS Clinical Trials Group Brief Peripheral Neuropathy Screening Tool, it's quite the mouthful, which diagnoses HIV-SN based on the presence of both signs and symptoms. We also collected a thorough demographic and clinical record so that we can determine non-genetic risk factors of HIV-SN. We extracted DNA from blood samples and genotyped all samples for 48 polymorphisms across the four genes. We then derived haplotypes, and any haplotypes which occurred at a frequency less than 1% were excluded from analysis. And we derived these haplotypes because they help provide more information about the genetic profile and help us identify critical polymorphisms. We then assessed these statistically using bivariate and multivariate analyses. And so in this cohort, we identified that 9 patients were diagnosed with HIV-SN prior to even starting their antiretroviral therapy. An additional 20 patients went on to develop HIV-SN between starting their antiretroviral therapy and 6 to 8 months follow-up. So that's a total of 29 patients out of 75. And so the prevalence of HIV-SN in African patients not receiving stabudine is 38%. As for the demographics, we identified that age, height, weight, current and nadir CD4 T-cell counts, and a viral load greater than 500, and also history of tuberculosis were linked with HIV-SN. So we included all these demographic and clinical factors in logistic regression and identified that body weight, nadir CD4 T-cells, and a history of tuberculosis were independently associated with HIV-SN and therefore risk factors. As for the genetics, we found that 2 polymorphisms in P2X7R, 1 in P2X4R, 6 in CAMKK2, and 1 in ANAPC5 were also linked to HIV-SN. So we included all of these in logistic regression modelling with the 3 demographic factors and identified that 1 P2X7R polymorphism and 3 from CAMKK2 were independently associated with HIV-SN after correcting for body weight, nadir CD4 T cells, and a history of tuberculosis. What's really exciting about this model is it has a pseudo R squared of 0.46, which means this model accounts for a massive 46% of the risk of HIV-SN in this group. So then we were excited to see what the haplotypes would tell us. We identified 7 haplotypes which were linked with HIV-SN. However, 2 of these were only found in individuals without HIV-SN, and another 2 which were only found in individuals with HIV-SN. So as these perfectly align with the HIV-SN, they could not be included in logistic regression modelling, leaving just 3 haplotypes. So these, along with demographic variables, we ended up with 1 P2X4R haplotype after correcting for the demographic variables identified in the first model. It also had a pseudo R squared of just 0.21, so it didn't improve on the model which considered polymorphisms independently. So why do we see the polymorphisms so strongly associated with HIV-SN, but not the haplotypes which contain them? One option is that it's a relatively small cohort for a genetic study, especially in a population where there's great genetic diversity. We excluded all haplotypes that occurred at less than 1%, and so in a bigger population, perhaps some of these haplotypes would have been included and may be important. It may also be due to linkage disequilibrium. It's possible that the polymorphisms we identified are in linkage or co-inherited with polymorphisms that were outside the panel we genotyped. And it's also possible that the polymorphisms play a role themselves. So we had a little bit of a closer look at these polymorphisms. So all 4 polymorphisms are located in non-coding regions. So either intronic, which is within the gene, intergenic between 2 genes, or was located in the 3' untranslated region. And so if these polymorphisms play a role, it's not by directly altering the protein structure and therefore function. It's going to be by the regulation of expression of proteins in the area. So there's an online database that's public available. It's called the Gene Tissue Expression Database. And this database reports polymorphisms which are associated with altered expression levels of proteins and also altered splicing of proteins. And interestingly, all 3 of our CAMKK2 polymorphisms were associated with alternatively spliced P2X4R, so the neighbouring gene's protein. There was 1 which was also linked with alternative splicing of CAMKK2, and we also saw 2 of them which were linked with altered expression of P2X4R. So if these polymorphisms play a role, it might be by altering the type of protein expressed and also the amount of protein expressed, but this will require experimental validation. So just in summary to conclude, we identified that polymorphisms in CAMKK2 are a strong marker of HIV-SN in African patients who do not receive stavudine. These polymorphisms are non-coding, so if these polymorphisms play a role, it's via the regulation of expression of CAMKK2 and neighbouring genes. But all in all, we believe these findings show implicate a role for CAMKK2 and further investigation is warranted. So these findings are important because if we can identify a genetic marker of HIV-SN, we can identify patients that are at greater risk of HIV-SN and can therefore offer customised care for them. Also, if we can identify the underlying mechanisms, we may be able to provide a target for future therapeutics to prevent, treat, or even cure HIV-SN. So I'd like to acknowledge everyone who collaborated to this project and made it possible. A special thanks to the people living with HIV who donated their time and samples as well. Thank you.